This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Friday evening service of March the 26th, 1993, of the Spring Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris is the speaker of the evening.
And if you'd like to turn over there, well, we will just do that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, hear the Apostle Paul say, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Not many noble are called. Not many wise after the flesh. Well, I think what Paul did here, he's preaching to the Corinth church, and he looks them over and says, "Hey, you guys, y'all knew each other before you was Christians, didn't you?" "Oh, yeah." Well, I ask you this then, was there anybody here of noble birth? Anybody renowned for wisdom? Anybody in high political positions? No. God chose then the foolish. This is my secondary, or actually it's the first fivefold ministry. I'm going to give you the first fivefold ministry. Everybody wants to be in the fivefold ministry. Boy, back in the days, well, they still do, but I think 15 years ago it was more prevalent. Somebody is always trying to locate themselves in the fivefold ministry. You know, the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And everybody was wondering if they were an apostle. That's highest order. Amen. And many people were, somebody asked me, I was teaching a seminar, and Brother Jackson, how do you tell an apostle? And I said, "Oh, he'll have it on his card." You know, a lot of them had it on their cards, apostle, prophet, and pastor, you know. And of course, it was a joke. Wasn't an answer they really wanted. I could. I did answer the question after we had a little laugh about it, you know. After do it good like a medicine. Somebody said, "Brother Jack, ain't no healing medicine." I said, "I believe every word in the Bible, and the Bible says that. But he also says that the medicine do it good like a laughter do it good like a medicine. Now, that scripture says medicine doeth good." Well, anyhow, I often say if something's wrong with me, I'll take all the help I can get from anywhere I can get it. I believe in the Lord really strong. I believe in divine healing, and I have been divinely healed. And I've laid hands on a lot of people, and they got healed. Noticeably. But all through this, for this 40 years, I've been doing a parts ministry. Everything's in parts. And it used to trouble me much. In the early years, I'd go pray for somebody and record in my mind the situation. Get a miracle healing at midnight, 3 o'clock in the morning. I used to be called on during the night. A lot of times go somewhere. We lived in a rural area out in the country and prayed for somebody. But now, I'm going to pray for it. This woman, she'd be, in agony and real bad, and probably second day into it, and they just couldn't do it. Well, so I'd go in there and pray for her, and she'd get healed. 3 o'clock in the morning, get up and cook breakfast. Eat breakfast with them before I left. They hold that, keep that healing too. But then what bothered me was that this week I go into a place, pray for somebody, get a real noticeable healing that you couldn't deny. And a week from then, under the same circumstances, I prayed the other time, but I prayed just near like it as I could, and nothing happened. Well, that bothered me. And it was long later years that I learned that he said, well, we prophesy in part. We do everything in part. But when that which is perfect is come, he's going to slide the perfect in under. Hallelujah. Amen. And this that is in part will give way to the perfect. And then will we know as we're known. The 70 that went out in the 10th chapter of St. Luke did it. They did it. Nobody else has ever been able to do it. But all the Lord was doing there was giving us a showing of what would be in that day. He sends them out like like you see the picture of a house. That ain't built yet. But the contractor will lay it on your table there, and you look at it, there it is. But before you look at one that looks like that, you'll see a lot of things scattered around out on that ground. Looks like everything. But if you'll just give it time, it'll come together and look just like that. And that's what he did with that 70. He sent them out like this house that was finished in the ministry of perfection. And then he brought them back, but he was showing everybody else what this ministry could do. And then when he brings them back, he tells them, now walk it out. Walk it out. Peter couldn't do it. Paul had to leave people sick, you know. But he healed a lot of them. Didn't he? Hallelujah. All right, so here's the other five, the first five old ministries right here. He in verse 27, but he had chosen the foolish things. Foolish, that's number one. Foolish things. That's number one in this five old ministry. And of the world to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things. That's number two. He chose the weak things to confound the things which are mighty. And in verse 28, he chose the base things, and that's number three. And then, still in 28th verse, number four, he chose those which are despised, and that's number four, despised. And then, in still in 28, he chooses yea and things which are not. He chose some are not. Hallelujah. Here's the five-fold ministry given to us. Foolish, weak, base, despised things that are not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, when I looked through this list of apostles that he had called, I couldn't find one nobleman. Not a one. None of the 12 was of royal birth. None of the 12 was a nobleman. Hallelujah. Only the Lord would try to build a kingdom like this. If you'll continue on the track you're on now, if you continue with me, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be beaten. You're going to be locked up in jail. No. And they're going to... I'll be killed. No. Bad things going to happen to you if you keep on the course that you're on now. Hallelujah. Well, can you imagine a modern leader trying to build something, would gather his elite together and tell them, hey, if you stay with me, yeah, wouldn't do it that way. Say it's been that way. I'm kind of a pioneer, really, in the move of God. Sonship ministry, kingdom. I preached it long before it was popular, and I preached it when those that come with me quit saying amen. I said, Brother Bill Smith, he was with me some in some of these meetings. I was telling this, and I knew he was there and knew what I was talking about, so I had to say, well, Bill, he finally said amen, but then I said it, but he waited till I plowed through him. Hallelujah. He waited to see how I was going to fire. But by the grace of God, and the Lord would give me favor. Hallelujah. You know what I do when they get to staring me down, really coming back at me? I just cut loose and quote about three or four chapters and make them shout. Hallelujah. And I could see the projection at work. And those same people that was really hostile to me. I've been back many times. They invited me many times. When there was a gang waiting for me outside, it was paper in here and it was out there. Then they sent in a note. Well, the reason I was over there, they just beat up one of the old preachers in my deal, and so we kind of had a meeting. Let's send Brother Jack over. So they asked me if I'd go, and I said, yeah. And they'd done run off every preacher coming. I don't know why they didn't want a church in their community. It wasn't but about four or five of them. And they had a good church. I mean, you know, like, they didn't like us holiness preachers coming in there. So I seen this guy that they beat up. Man, he had black eyes. And another guy was with him. He said, well, I felt like I ought to tell him to quit. And when I told him to quit, look here. And he pulled off his sunshade and his eyes run together. And I was in there, and during the song service, I seated up on the platform, and they sent a boy in there, about 10, 12-year-old boy with a note. And it said something to the effect of, yeah, we're waiting for you, preacher. And when you come out, you'll get it just like this older guy did. And we're just warning you, when you come out, we'll be waiting. Well, I could see them. I didn't know it until then, but I looked and I could see them. Yeah, it wasn't too far. The church was up on some steps, had to step down about 5 steps to get down on the ground with them. And so when the preliminaries were over and they called me to preach, I came up preaching. I said, before I read my text, I have a note here, a request. Somebody is requesting my presence outside. And I'm going to come outside. But not right now. But when I preach, after I preach, I'm coming out. And I said, hey, I don't know. You guys hear me out there. What is the deal here? I come over here to help you, to help this community. That's all they come for. I don't even want an offering. I didn't want one before you threatened me. And these preachers that you have abused never done you any harm. And, of course, they don't answer me back. They already got theirs right here. And so I went ahead and preached. And when I got through preaching, we had an altar work there. I figured we'd get a lot of folks in the altar and have a long work, and they'll get tired and go home. And they was afraid to come in the building after me, because there was 50 people in there, 50 to 60 people in there, and they wouldn't take it kindly, They want to be meek, all right, but they won't, but they're afraid to come inside. Anyhow, they might just didn't want everybody to know just exactly who they were. So we worked an altar a good long while, thinking they'd leave, but I seen they wasn't left, so I told them then, and they got, said, well, we're dismissed. And I said, well, gentlemen, I'm coming out. Now, I tell you, let me tell you this, look me over good as I come down the aisle. And if you jump on me, you're not going to think you captured a lamb. And the Lord says, hey, I want you to be a sheep. And I said, Lord, I want to be a lion. Or a tiger. There ain't a club in the NFL named Sheep. Why can't I be a lion? Yeah, and I said, Lord, I'd think a lion or a tiger was more in characteristic with me. Me and Apostle Peter. Bob said, he said, I want you to be a sheep because I lead sheep. I don't lead herds. I lead a flock. And you're a sheep because I'm a shepherd. Yeah, I've been satisfied to be a sheep ever since. But when I come down the steps, there's two standing on one side and two on the other side. And I just walk right straight between them, never lifted a hand on them. They never touched me. Car and got in it and drove off. I went back, a few weeks from then. I went back over the years, and these same fellas that was waiting for me got saved. Yeah. They got saved and got the baptism right while I was preaching. Hallelujah. And I get called back to that community for a funeral every once in a while, Brother Glenn. And they'll all meet with me. Hey, you remember? Yeah, I remember. And now I joke with them. I said, you guys had to come on and challenge me. I'd left you some trophies to, like I got from the war. You wouldn't have to ask me if I remembered. I'd have marked you up some. I'm glad it didn't turn out that way because we've been good friends and God had his way and God sent me to get you to listen. Hallelujah. You wouldn't listen to them old preachers because they were scared of you and here I come and defied you and hallelujah and we're all alive. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Yeah, I preached it before it was popular. Well, believe me, we suffered a lot of persecution when I was a boy and when I was first young in the ministry, and I come up through the old school, just old line Pentecost. Everybody kind of hated us. Amen. Yeah, but not so now. All right, I searched through this list, and I didn't find one of noble birth, not one rabbi, not a one. There wasn't one of wealth or position, not one. But what I do find is a bunch of fishermen and publicans and common people. Linda sings about the common people? Or no, it was Donna, wasn't it? Uh-huh. Common people. The common people heard him gladly. That's why that he chose the foolish, the weak, the base, the despised, and those that are not, to confound the wise. Now, who all wants to be in the 5-0 ministry? This is the one that he started with, but he somehow, before it got down to our time, he had graduated it to that given 5-0 ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But when, if you ever exalt in the office of an apostle, just remember that the first one was foolish. If you take them in the same rotation, it was the foolish that was first, and the apostle is first. And they suffered things that we might have this. No, we defied hostility that we might be here in peace tonight. Yeah, but let me say that in all of my ministry, I've made very few enemies. Very few. I mean, people have gotten mad at me, but they soon got in a good humor, you know. And I didn't hold it against them. They didn't hold it against me. And I have. But one of the things the prophecy told me, I'll give you a favor wherever you go. Well, see, I had to turn this hostility into favor to make old brother Stetson's prophecy come true. Hallelujah. I'm supposed to get favor everywhere I go. And here I'm getting hostility. I got to do something. Maybe I'll laugh real big. Well, whatever. Hallelujah. So, all right, now he has chosen his 12, and let's look at them. Now, if you was going to build a kingdom, and you was going to start with 12 men, what would you look for? You know the reason that the Democratic Party and the Republican Party and none of the parties do anything dramatic or anything that is good for the general population? Because they can't see beyond. The Democratic Party can't look outside the Democratic Party. The Republican Party can't look outside the Republican Party. So whoever they get is going to be somebody that thinks and acts and embraces the same political persuasion as they do. And there you have a narrow field. The thing I like about Lake Hamilton, one of the many things I like about Lake Hamilton, is the variety of ministry that comes through here. Say, if only preachers like myself came through here, not all I preach is sonship and the kingdom, you know, kingdom of God, and you'd miss, well, and if preachers like Glenn came, you'd balance the other side of the boat with deliverance. Glenn, Doc, if just me and Tommy came, you'd be sons of God. No, that's all you'd hear. And you'd be looking at a narrow spectrum. But then there are those that comes that teaches us. There are those that comes that teaches us. This brother that talked this morning, I like the way he did that. Yeah. I believe most of the things that he said. Maybe all of them. I have to leave room for maybe disagreeing with him on something, but I didn't know what it was. In case somebody bends me down. But he was saying the things that needs to be said. Now, if you just had that type ministry come in, of course, I don't know, that's just the only time I ever heard him preach, but that's the way he did it. And he'll tell you how to live a good Christian life. But see, I bypass that. I mostly concede that you are a good Christian, and I start from there. Hallelujah. And try to make you a better one. Hallelujah. But I'm just saying that you get a very narrow focus. That's why that a local church that has a pastor that won't call in other ministry, they'll wind up very narrow. That's why our Senate is so narrow. They're 96% lawyers, and every decision they make has to favor the lawyers. But in order to favor the lawyers, they have to favor the doctors, Dr. Null, and they have to favor the insurance companies. And so it winds up with the doctors, the insurance company, and the lawyers being favored. And the reason the lawyers favored the doctors is he needs them for witnesses in when he's suing the insurance company. So he has to take care of the doctors and the insurance companies, and that in itself takes care of the lawyers. Hey, I always thought we ought to send some farmers to the Congress and Senate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Write some laws that we can understand. If they write a law, they put so many whereas and there else in it that none of them can interpret it. They do that, that's favoring the lawyers. The lawyer can say, this thereof's in effect now, and the other one says, no, herewith is. Your Honor, I contend that herewith is. Hallelujah. And therefore, we wind up with, they call it gridlock, but that's truth. The Congress is about 90-something percent lawyers. We got a nation run by lawyers. Any lawyers here? Well, that's not good. Hey, it wouldn't be good if the nation was run by preachers. All preachers. It wouldn't be good for the nation if it was run by all of anything. And it ain't good for God's people to be restricted to just a narrow portion, a revelation of what God's doing under one ministry. Right. You can't be perfected under one tree. Right. So if you're going to pastor a church and it's going to be perfected, you have to call in other ministries and let them preach. You know? It won't, usually you can get away, you know. Anything he tears down. I always said I ain't afraid for anybody preaching in the pulpit that I'm over. Hallelujah. A lot of preachers are. They said, well, they'll tear it up. And I said, goodness, if somebody can come in here and tear up in one sermon or one sitting, anything they can tear up in one sitting, I believe I can fix in 3 or 4 days. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so the Lord chose these brethren not because they all belong to the same fraternity. They all belong to the same health club, yeah, a country club. Yeah. He chose them for many reasons. Now, if I was going to choose men to help me, I'd try to get men of all, that all of them think alike. I'd try to get men of one temperament. Let's look at that. One temperament. Let's see what he done about that. That's a, he's got to have men of one temperament. So let's look and see if he did that. Peter, the great apostle with all the courage, plain-spoken, outspoken, opinionated. You talk about a man opinionated. He had an opinion on every subject. Everything that was mentioned, he had an opinion. Usually they was good. But sometimes they wasn't so good, were they? I mean, I know one that he had there, and he got rebuked kind of sternly about it. When the Lord was telling him, hey, they're going to get me. I'm going to Calvary. And he said, the rabbi said, take hold of him. I think he done him like that. And said, be it far from you, Lord. I won't stand for a minute of it. Well, and the Lord said, get behind me, Satan. He was opinionated. Man quick to answer. And then, in contrast to him, look at the Apostle John. Here's a man of contemplated prayer and love for God. I think he was a soft-spoken man. He was a man of prayer. Briefly stated, John was a man of prayer and Peter was a man of action. But, of course, I know that John would take action too. Peter would pray too. But their temperament comes through very good, doesn't it? I mean that John is a disciple of love. He's such a loving man that he's called the disciple, and the Lord seemed to favor him next to his bosom. You see, the Lord had chosen these, but out of the 12, he broke them down again, didn't he? And chose 3 again to the highest order. They would go with him to the mountain of transfiguration.
they would witness the return of Moses. Somebody said, poor Moses, he didn't even get to come to the promised land. He did, too. Hallelujah. Amen. He comes to the mountain of transfiguration. Oh, where is he? He's alive. He's alive. Hey, and he'd been reading the papers, too, when he come to the mountain transfiguration, because when he got there, they didn't talk about things that had transpired while Moses lived. They talk about current things. So I know he did, you know, took the Longview Journal. And he talked about Calvary. Yeah, yeah. And he got to, oh, yes, well, he did get to Canaan, though. We settled that. He got to the land of promise, didn't he? He's alive now. And I have an idea that we'll be seeing him. Hallelujah. Oh, I fully expect to see him. I want to exchange some stories with them. Hallelujah. I like both of these men. I really do. For all of these years, I've been reading about them. I haven't decided which one of them I like the best. When I'm reading about Peter, I like his courageous outburst and his... I don't mind his quick temper. Yeah, but, you know, he swung that sword at that... the guy that was guarding the high priest that night, didn't he? And he took off his ear. But he didn't intend to do that. He intended to take both off. Right? Just below the earlobe. Only some quick action on that guy's part and ducking. Save the other ear and the brain cavity and all of this. He had every intention of killing him. He was defending his blessed Lord. Hallelujah. And when I read that, I really like him. And then I read about John and his tenderness and his hours in prayer, and I think, I guess I like John the best. So to this day, I haven't decided. I wait till I meet him face to face, and maybe it won't matter by then. It don't really matter now, does it? Hallelujah. Yes. 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 All right. Let's look at some more of them. How about Matthew and Simon? Simon the Zealot. Matthew was a tax gatherer. Well, everybody hated the tax gatherer, especially if he was a collaborator and a turncoat, and he had turned his back on Israel and was collecting tax for their oppressor. From them to go to, he was collecting taxes from Israel to pay to Rome. But the Lord chose him, didn't he, to be one of the 12. And then the opposite of him was this Simon the Zealot. Simon Zealot, he was a rebel. That is, he was a member of a revolution that was in focus to overturn, that had arose to overturn the Roman government and turn the command back to Israel. But it had failed, but Simon's patriotism hadn't failed any. So Simon, being a patriot of Israel, hates this tax gatherer that is taxing Israel for Rome. Hey, I hadn't had no problem deciding which one of these gentlemen I like the best. The tax gatherer or him that's in opposition to it, huh? And but Simon, in the natural, Simon would have hated Matthew. Matthew would have despised Simon, and they were all very different. But God, the blessed Lord, was going to mold them together, and he was going to bring together all of them. He only wanted them to have one common denominator. And who knows what that is? He chose them specially that they didn't all have already one common denominator. He's going to give them one. They'll be diversified in a lot of things, but before you get, oh, we are too. But I tell you what, when we come to Zion, we'll see eye to eye. Eye to eye when we come to Zion. And when they come to Zion, they'll see eye to eye. Hallelujah. Well, let's look on down here at some of these other apostles. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, he,
Let's see. We said that he, you know, out of all them great apostles, and out of all the followers of Jesus, we couldn't find no, the Bible said he didn't choose many wise, but later he did. He chose Paul, Saul of Tarsus, very, very intellectual genius, Barnabas, and St. Luke, who was a physician. All of these men were well-learned and high IQs, and he chose some, but by and large, he still chooses the common people. And from the masses today, he most generally gets the common people, doesn't he? Just kind of common, middle class, middle-lower class. And sometimes he reaches into the upper echelon and gets a few millionaires in there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. All right. So then, we'll look at, all right. Well, let's see. In all of these, there's nobody of none of these characteristics. Now, there was a man called Nicodemus who was a great counselor. And he had a hesitating belief in the Lord. There was another man that was called Joseph of Arimathea. He had also a hesitating belief in the Lord. And they both secretly looked for the Lord to build a kingdom. But neither of them loved him enough to forsake prestige, wealth, position, and come and follow him. Neither of them. It was left to the fishermen and to the publicans and to those that were of just natural wealth. I got to hurry through here now. Let me see here where I am. When I read of these men of all these varying opinions, all right, maybe they wanted, let's look at the difference in James and Andrew. James, it was who, James was one of the ones that wanted a position next to the Lord, wasn't it, in the kingdom? Man, here, hunting prestige. Andrew, on the other hand, but he's insignificant, isn't he? I mean, Andrew's insignificant. His only claim to fame at that time, of course, now he has two claims. He was an apostle. But then his only claim to fame was that he was the Apostle Peter's brother. He lived in the shadow of his brother, Peter, who was, you know, was a great, had preeminence, prominence. And, if you have to live in the shadow of somebody, Peter would be a good one to live in his shadow, wouldn't he? Everywhere his shadow hit, people got hit. They got it all, didn't they? Well, Andrew never complained. He took this secondary position, and he never complained. He never grew into a lot of preeminence in throughout the Scriptures. He was a man of the double handshake, and seems like he was well contented to be that. Well, you know about the double handshake, don't you? Now, Lord, I'll explain to you. He went through life as a man of the double handshake. All right, here he comes. Now, Andrew is coming up the steps to the convention with one of the other apostles. And you know, they used to stand out on the, if they had a porch, stand out on the porch or near the steps, all the dignitaries, to invite the other dignitaries in. And so here are all the dignitaries of the convention sitting out here, standing on the steps, waiting. Here comes Andrew and James the Lesser, and so as they come up, Andrew says, sticks out his hand and says, Andrew Barjonas, and so they give me a hand. They give him a little old handshake, like that. Then that time he's walked off about three or four steps, James comes along and says, I'm James. Hey, I'm Andrew, Peter's brother. Hey! Hey, and now, whoa, that's the double handshake. First time, just barely enough to keep from ignoring you, because you're nobody, see? But then, when he finds out that he's Peter's brother, man, he could call him back and hug his neck, and, you know, and really, you're really going to loosen up his arthritis.
It goes through life. With a double handshake. But James, on the other hand, the extreme from him, wants a position on the right or the left of Jesus. He wants to be Secretary of War. Well, Secretary of State, maybe. And anyway, they want a real prominent position. But Andrew never lusted for any of those things. Now look, when somebody was doing the lust and wanted a definition for it, I didn't give them a definition, but I will now. The definition for lust is a strong desire toward anything. Say it can be good or bad, but the Bible mostly uses it in a bad sense. But James was lusting for a position in the kingdom of God just as sure as Samson lusted for Delilah. He had a strong desire. Oh, hallelujah. Well, let's look at two more, and then we're going to be through here. All right. Nathanael. In John 1:49, he comes to the Lord, and the Lord said, "Hey, I seen you when you was under the tree." And you know what he said? Right away. I mean, he said, "My Lord, you're the Son of God." So quick to believe. Now the Lord's picking somebody that with diversities of personality to, and he's calculating their ability to latch on to spiritual things. Nathanael, he'll catch on fast. He said, "My God," he said, "you're the Son of God." And just that quick. Then the opposite of him is Thomas. It's going to be hard to convince Thomas that he's gone. Judas has already betrayed the Lord. 10 disciples are together. Thomas is out somewhere. And Judas has betrayed the Lord and been expelled. And Jesus appears after the resurrection and visits with the 10. Thomas returns and they are exuberant. And the glory is all over them. And they're all excited. And they said, "Hey, Thomas, we've seen the Lord." "What?" "We've seen the Lord. Tell him, guys. We've seen the Lord." They all said, "We've seen the Lord." So I think that he quizzed them a little bit here. He says, "Hey, Peter, did you see the Lord?"
"Yeah."
"John?"
"Yeah."
"Hey, I tell you what, I ain't going to believe it. Ain't but one way I'll ever believe it. Just these 10 witnesses, ain't it?" "So what do you think these guys are, a bunch of thugs?" I mean, these are guys going to propel the kingdom. And he says, "I ain't going to believe you. I ain't going to believe you unless I see him. I gotta see the scars in his hand. I got to stick my hand in his side." And so it wasn't long until they were all together, the 11, and Jesus comes through the wall. Like Superman. Only Superman knocked the whole wall out. He just stepped through it and didn't even hurt it. Then he said, "Oh, I know you think I'm a ghost. Feel and see." And he walked up. Thomas said, "You know a ghost doesn't have body. Feel." And Thomas felt, seen the scars, reached up, felt the scar on his side. Then he fell on his face. And he cried, "My Lord and my God." He got it. But he was awful slow about getting it, wasn't he? But he was sure. I tell you, all the king's men and all the king's horses can't get him to doubt it now, can they? Hey, have you ever seen anybody that's kind of slow learner and watch them try to get on something that everybody else got on to 5 minutes ago? And when it finally dawns on them, they lighten up like a 60-watt bulb. And I tell you, they got it. They got it. They're sure. You can't take that away from them. And so that's why that then when he moves us into the church and the church age comes, he moves us into the church, he gives a diversity of gifts. Many, many ministries. He didn't want us all to have but one common denominator, and that is Jesus, and to love him with all of our heart, mind, and soul. And this is the first commandment, and the other one's just like it. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Thank the Lord. So that's what it's all about. We've moved into the final ages of the final age of the church, and I believe that God is choosing those now that will be at the end of the age. Hallelujah. And as when the disciples asked Jesus after the resurrection, "Say, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Little did they know it had taken 2,000 years to do it, but he'd do it. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so it's taken near 2,000 years, but we're right at the entrance. Yeah. We're at the threshold. God's doing tremendous and wonderful things. Stand with me. Hallelujah. He's doing wonderful things in the land of the living. I tell you, he is. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my Lord. Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right, late. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to... that's all. Praise the Lord. Our Father and our God, I pray for this people that have been under the sound of my voice and our voice and all the beautiful songs. Oh, the diversity of ministry that has gone forth, great God. My Lord, our cup runneth over. Oh, blessed be the Lord. You've prepared us a table before the presence of our enemy. You have anointed our head with oil and made our cup to run over, O Lord. Great God in the land of the living, you anoint your prophets, your priests, O my Lord, your men, your women, your children, O Lord, all that will come to you. Great God, I pray that you'd seal in our hearts the way to the kingdom, that we might never falter, and we may not miss thee, O Lord. We must not miss God now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name I pray, and the blessings of the Lord be with you. I bless you in the name of the Lord. I invoke the choicest blessings from heaven for you, one and all, in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.